Are you a badass photographer looking to create a life that sets your soul on fire? If the answer is hell yes, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Camera Queens podcast, where we talk about showing up, making bank, and finding focus in who the F you are. I'm your host, Belle Vidiglione, here to break the rules, guide you on your rebellious journey toward a lit up life, and celebrate your successful photography business. Let's do this. Hey, hey, welcome to the Camera Queens podcast. Today I am speaking with the incredible Carmen Braidwood. She is a broadcasting expert over 22 years in the media, and I'm just so pumped to have this conversation. So welcome, Carmen.
Oh, thank you, Belle. Really good to be here.
Yay. So for anyone listening to this, they might not know who you are or what you do and your expertise. So can you just introduce yourself?
All right. Well, I guess the best way to describe who I am and what I do is that I'm a working TV and radio presenter these days. It's mostly freelance stuff. I don't have a full-time gig in the media. But up until about 5 years ago, I was working full-time on a breakfast radio show here in Perth that was axed overnight, and that changed my life completely for the better. And I knew at the time it would. It was quite exciting, actually. And since then, yeah, I've been doing the freelance thing and also training other people to use the skills that broadcasters do, right? So radio and TV presenters, those skills in their what I like to call modern media or digital media, right? So your social media, your websites, and also traditional media. So, you know, trying to get those appearances on TV and radio and in the press that are just going to give you thousands and thousands of dollars worth of free publicity, and everybody wants that, right? So it's those traditional media skills. And the fact is, you know, we have to show up on camera now for things like Reels and TikTok. And a lot of us, whether we're in business or professionals in the corporate space, really wrestle with the confidence that's required to do that. And that's what gave birth, if you like, during the pandemic to my confidence on camera program. And that's my, you know, signature little baby. And I just am so proud of it and love it. And that's taken me, you know, through the journey of building a group coaching program, one-on-one programs for people. I teach it to corporates. I do executive coaching with it and also speak on big stages, you know, deliver keynotes for big organizations who have a bunch of small businesses that they talk to and empower them to get out there and grow their business through the power of speaking on camera.
Yeah, you absolutely do so much. We were just talking before we started about, you know, you've just got gigs everywhere, left, right, and center. And I first came across you, I actually don't watch a lot of TV or listen to a lot of radio.
You're not alone there, Belle.
Oh, I'm like, just give me Spotify. It's mainly because of the ads. I actually contract in my body every time an ad comes on the TV or I have to listen to, you know, a radio station. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'd rather pay for a streaming service. But I came across you because when I first wanted to launch my podcast, I was just thinking, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm doing in terms of speaking. Mm-hmm. And my cousin actually sent me, there was like a podcasting week or something, and I signed up to one workshops, and I was just like sitting there, and you made us all actually get on camera then and there. And I was like, wow, like this person knows exactly how to rip the Band-Aid off. Just like, you've just got to get in and do it, right? You just have to just straight away. It's like, I think sometimes we talk about it and then it builds up in our body so much. And I was actually watching one of your reels where you had a client testimonial, and I think it was a Melbourne recent workshop. Mm-hmm. And he was saying that you were getting everyone to walk and then film them while they're walking and talking. Can you walk me through that strategy?
Yeah, this is the thing. Look, my experience as a broadcaster was that it didn't come naturally, right? I knew I had stars in my eyes. I was an amateur at best actor, occasional professional gig used to come up, and I knew I wanted to be on radio. I knew that there was a solution to kind of marrying like my academic side and my performative side, right? I knew that radio was for me, and I would have loved to have done TV, but that felt just really pie in the sky. That was too hard, because even the thought of speaking for 30 seconds without needing notes into a microphone was scaring me witless, right? So my personal experience has been, and I agree that most other broadcasters would have had this same experience, right? Is that you have to learn by doing. You must give it a crack. And the more you put it off, the more you will wait for circumstances to be perfect. So you need to actually rip that Band-Aid off, like you say, and have a crack at it. So in my in-person workshops, I really have a strong emphasis on getting people up out of their chairs and having a crack at it. And that's how traditional media training works as well. We put you under that bit of pressure so you can feel it and learn to cope with how it feels to be a bit uncomfortable. So the walking and talking strategy, right, is kind of like step three. You'd start off just trying to remember something beginning, middle, and end that you know, like, you know, your name and what you do, and then a quick call to action, right? So that's giving you that first strategy. And you can practice this. If you're listening to this podcast, here's your free confidence on camera session, right? Do that strategy first. Then you graduate to saying something that's a little better put together, right? Because we all know that no one cares what your name is and what you do unless there's something in it for them, right? The only person who cares what your name is and what you do, as we all know, is our mum, right? Unless you're selling to your mum, it's no point telling us what your name is and what you do at the start of your pieces of video content, right? So we bring a hook in to the start. Once you can actually speak about something with a little more meaning on camera, then I want you to graduate to the stage of, right, can I do something else while I'm talking about something that has a bit of meaning? And the reason you do something else, like walking, is to bring you back to that really natural delivery style, which is what modern audiences are asking for. Think about your own viewing habits. And you pointed this out even in the way you just talked about how you really dislike watching commercial television and radio because it's interrupted by ads all the time, right? Well, no one likes to be sold to. And so as soon as you hear this kind of cheesy, bunged on sound, and we all fall into it, honestly, once you're trying to engage the lens of a camera, it doesn't feel the same as you're trying to do when you engage a person's eye contact, right? So the throwing something else in, like walking or tying your shoelace or, you could do something like making a drink. Like if you're doing something else, it just strips things back and you start to speak more like your natural self. And that's what we're looking for. So Instagram, TikTok, podcasts, the sound is natural. Broadcasting, ironically, the background that I bring to it, that can be a problem. Like I'm sure we'll talk about this some more, but you know, the problem has been over the years that I was told to change my voice, change my delivery style. And that takes a lot of time for broadcasters to unlearn. So if you're just coming at it from a business perspective, if you're listening to the podcast right now and you've got a photography business and you don't have that broadcasting background, great news. Great. We don't need to take all that bull dust away from you. We can actually keep you in that really nice, authentic space.
Yeah, there's so much to unpack here. I was like, which question do I ask next? Because you've actually covered quite a lot. So let me go through one thing first. So you mentioned in broadcasting, there's this idea of sort of like having everything perfect and that if you have had that background, then you have to sort of, you know, unlearn it to sort of show up on camera in a more, you know, real and authentic way.
Yeah.
How has that impacted you going from, you know, your more traditional media background and getting everything perfect on the radio and in TV to now sort of running your business and unlearning, like you said? Can you talk me through that?
Yeah, it was a real impact, Belle. It really heavily affected me. For instance, I had the idea behind my Confidence on Camera program like a decade ago because I met this guy who wanted me to teach him how to present on camera. So back then I was doing my full-time radio show and I would do freelance travel stories on shows like Destination WA on weekends and stuff. And I couldn't understand why this person, a chiropractor, would want to learn to speak on camera back then, right? You know, and he was the one who pointed out, oh, social media videos. I can be giving stretches and tips to reduce back pain to my patients when they're not even in the room with me and they'll feel supported and they'll attribute that win to me, all these things that we now know about the benefits of content marketing, right? And so, yeah, I taught him that and it worked really well. I used the strategies that I used to teach myself and that other broadcasters handed on to me. And it worked for his business. And that was when I realized that my radio job one day would come to an end. I always knew that was kind of an inevitable thing. That's the nature of broadcasting. Nothing's kind of forever. You're pretty lucky if you get a station to invest in you as a talent and stay with you for like 20 years, which is the holy grail. And so I kind of knew that there would come a time when I didn't have that job to fall back on. And I thought, well, I can probably then launch into some kind of disruptor product to media training, right? See, media training traditionally, if you're not in broadcasting or if you're not a comms manager or media or marketing manager for a corporation, you really don't even know what it is. You know, media training traditionally has been for the talking head of an organization, the coach of the footy team, the CEO of a utilities company, right? They learn how to handle interviews by Seven News. But what I'd recognized, you know, even 10 years ago was that everyday people, entrepreneurs, business owners, professionals who were hoping to grow their career and build a personal brand would need these media skills. And what I hadn't quite figured out yet was that it was going to call it confidence on camera and that I would help people with the performance side. And what I'm getting to is that what held me back was this belief that in order to teach everyday people to perform on video, my content to promote it had to be perfect. And I was doing exactly what we're just talking about. I was sitting there waiting for all of these scenarios to be perfect. I didn't have any money. You know, I'd lost my job, a pretty good, well-paid full-time job. And I didn't know how I was going to pay my next mortgage. So I was thinking I needed to go and buy big amounts of equipment before I got started, you know, a fancy camera and fancy microphones and all the same lighting and all the cool stuff that I had on TV sets. I thought I needed to pay for video editors because back then I didn't even know how to edit a video on my mobile phone, as so many of us in the entrepreneurial space do every other day now. You know, so I felt like all these things had to be perfect for me to go out there and teach being on camera. And the really cool thing is that I found a coach who explained to me, well, hang on, you're not a video coach. You're not trying to teach people how to do the video behind the scenes and making all that sort of thing. You're the person who's going to help us clear this block that holds us back. You know, the fear of what other people are going to think of you, the fear of not being the one who is the authority in your industry, thinking that your voice doesn't matter. I was going through that in a big way too. You know, my background's mainly radio, and I felt like I couldn't put myself out there as a presenting coach on camera because I was diminishing my television experience. The reality is my television experience is actually quite extensive and highly sought after by many people. There are broadcasters who've mainly done news and TV news in particular who could not do the natural kind of to-camera presenting that I do out in the middle of the bungles in Western Australia, you know, and sell the benefits of traveling all the way to the Kimberley right around the world. You know, that's a different way, and it's a very authentic, natural way of presenting. And yeah, I had to go through this big journey of sort of separating myself from my industry, which is quite competitive and quite judgy and not that supportive of one another, and coming into the entrepreneurial space where I realized that my skills are highly valued. So it definitely held me back for a while, but I got there in the end, and I'm so grateful that it did come through. But I sometimes think, gee, if I'd gotten onto this a bit sooner, where could I be now?
Oh, look, we all sort of have those things that go through our head of like, oh, if I'd only cottoned on about the mindset and really understood that, I would be in a different place. But I also think I really trust in divine timing and that we're all where we're meant to be. So you talk a little bit about those limiting beliefs. And I know that the photographers listening to this really do struggle with, you know, what will people think? I won't even do a live because I might say, a thousand times, or I might stuff up what I meant to say, or I really don't like looking at myself on camera. Have you got any maybe starting off advice of just how to start? Like, is there any words of wisdom that you can share?
Yeah. The things that have been quite transformative in terms of realizing that your delivery doesn't need to be word perfect, particularly let's start with the example of going live, which for a lot of people is just unthinkable. It's just not going to happen, right? If you can handle a phone conversation with your prospect, with your client, you should be able to handle a live. Okay. And if you're uncertain about that, I want you to try this. Record yourself during one of your sales calls, or if you do like a discovery call on Zoom, record it and then play it back. And what you will realize is that you know so much good stuff. You know so much good stuff. You are more qualified at what you do than you actually realize. So there's the first thing that I hope is going to help you. The next thing is to remember that you are not trying to solve all of your clients' problems with one social media video or one Instagram live, right? It's okay just to start with one. Often when we're making content, we tend to look at listicles and things online and think we need to do 10 easy ways to get a beautiful photo of your baby for Christmas, right? And you think you've got to sit there and run through all of these things. You don't. Instead, what if you chose one of those that you know you can speak about quite eloquently for, say, 5 minutes? That's enough for a live. We don't want to ask that much of our audience. You don't have to do a whole half hour. Even if you're interviewing someone, you don't have to do an hour with them or 20 minutes. What if you just keep it really brief and you agree that you're going to do 10 videos instead of one video about 10 different topics, right? So by saying less, there's less pressure on you to memorize big chunks of stuff and instead focus on relating to your client the same way you do when you're on a phone call with them. And, you know, really think about what's in it for them. You're doing this to serve, to provide advice and support to your ideal client. And you being you in that video or that Instagram live is going to show that client how you're the perfect person to help them with that problem. They've got the problem first. They don't know what the solution is. You might know well, and you know, you will know, you know what the solution is, but they don't understand yet what that solution is. So you've got to demonstrate that. So instead of jumping on and saying things like, I'm just jumping on and happy Friday and all those things that we tend to fill time with, what if you went live or started your video by really keenly addressing the problem that your ideal client is facing? I bet you can talk about that for 30 seconds at least. It's nearly Christmas. Everyone in the family needs a Christmas present. And it would be great to get a newborn photography shoot, you know, in time for Christmas. You're probably wondering, have you got time to make that happen? You do if you get it booked in the next 3 weeks. So here's the process that you need to go through, right? So suddenly you're speaking your client's language. So you're making that easier on yourself. And you've given yourself structure to the piece of content. And every piece of content has the same structure, right? You've got a hook that your audience member cares about at the start, not the, hi, I'm just jumping ons and happy Mondays and my name is and these are the things I do, because sadly, you're going to lose your ideal client if you start with those things, right? You can bring them in after you've hooked them in if you want, and that's totally normal, right? You hook them in and then you can say, hi, I'm Belle, I'm part of Camera Queens and I support businesses to grow their photography business, or hi, I'm a photographer and I specialize in baby photography. So that's why I'm going to help you solve this problem right now, right? So then you can introduce yourself. So suddenly, okay, we've got two steps in our process. There's not much you have to remember, right? You know all the bits that go around this. You're not scripting it, you're just mud mapping it. And then you deliver on that one thing that you've said you're there to say. So how do you get newborn photographs in time for Christmas and it's already September? Okay, deliver on that solution. And then the last thing you're going to say almost always is a call to action. But if you know how you're going to finish anything you start saying on camera, you will never lose your way. You will never forget what to say, because you can always just go to that awesome out that you've prepared earlier.
Yes. Wow. I hope everyone is literally pen and paper right now. Writing down a book, then we go with a little introduction or what we need to say, and the CTA at the end. I love that so much. It's really
simple,
really
strategies. Yeah, I think the biggest problem is we overthink these things. If you can really just try and pare it back, one major idea at a time, and roughly three things to say as you convey that message, and two of them are formatics, you know, so it's the hook and the outro, or the call to action at the end. The middle is just delivering on the thing. Hook, deliver, outro.
I love that so much.
Always think about it that way. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so cool. So You talk a little bit about being authentic online, being okay with just, you know, stuffing it up. It doesn't really matter because it shows your personality and, you know, just being you. And that's so much more relatable and can connect with your ideal client. So is there anything that you've done to really tap into who you are on the inside? Like, can you share a little bit more about that and your journey in finding like your own voice?
Yeah, this has been really quite interesting, I would say, because it's been enhanced by becoming an entrepreneur, by being out here on my own and tapping into a whole new way to value myself and build an income, which I believe anyone listening with a photography business right now would probably relate to. Like, it's one of the most incredible journeys of self-development that you can do to go into business. I totally did not understand how cool that would be. So there's been definitely in the last 5 years a real honing of my authentic voice, which I'm very proud of, and I feel really great. I reckon I'm a better broadcaster now. The stuff I do on TV and radio is more confident. It's more me. I'm prepared to back my opinions. I'm not feeling like I'm not owned by a broadcaster anymore either. I'm not owned by a corporation as such. You know, I'm freelance. So I've got a little more leeway, not 100%. At the end of the day, there are stations where my show plays, for instance, and I have arrangements where I appear on, you know, the Today Show. So I probably wouldn't want to go potting Channel 9 anytime soon, right? But for the most part, I'm a free agent and I can get away with a little bit more. So I'm feeling better about my opinions and putting those things out there. But back when I was doing radio shows, you kind of were playing a role, right? So the station I worked on was quite male skewed in terms of our audience, or really playing to the male listener a little bit more than the female listener. It was still inclusive, but it just slightly more male skewed. So there were just elements of my personality that I would play up and then others that I would play down. And so there was a level of discomfort that I probably still had as an authentic personality, because I was forever wrestling with this, oh, I can't really talk about that side of me, you know. And I felt like some of those things were bad because we were looking for a really broad audience back then too. You know, you had to sort of round off the abrasive elements of your personality. So I'd really hold back on certain things, and now I'm much more free with them. But there was a turning point, and it was sort of between the first decade and second decade of my broadcasting. So the first decade, and if you met any other people in radio or TV, they probably did the same thing. I moved out to the bush. You know, I worked in, my first job full-time was Kalgoorlie. Then I went to regional Victoria. I went and lived in Colac, which is the town where all the Bogans come from, my neighbours. You know, like, that's all I knew about it. So, like, you know, I went and lived in these country towns, and I got to do the breakfast radio show. That was the goal. I wanted to be a brekkie radio announcer, and I was still kind of mimicking all these other announcers that I wanted to be like. I was trying to be like a mini Jackie O. And then someone goes, nah, you're more of an Amanda Keller. So I was like, all right, I'll try and be more like Amanda Keller. And then I remembered that my acting agent told me that my voice was squeaky and I should lower it. I said, I was mimicking my lovely friend Christina Morrissey when I talk. She really does talk deep, but I was like putting on this deep voice. And so I was doing all these, I was, you know, trying things out. And then when I would edit my own promos for the show, I would like grab the bits that made me sound more like the other people I wanted to be like. Yeah. And that was a disservice to me. Once I got to the city, once I got back to Perth, my hometown, and I was doing a Cap City breakfast radio show, they made promos of all the things that I was trying to hide, like my awkward laugh and when I'd stuff up a word or when I'd forget something, or just the things that were really very common. You know, the people that are nearest and dearest to me really associate with me, they were the things that made the promo. And that's when I realized that I'm okay. I'm allowed to be me.
You're more than okay, Carmen. No. You're absolutely such a shining light. And I love your zest for life. And even just like as I'm interviewing you, you're moving around and you're showing me your personality. And that is what I'm so passionate about talking about with, you know, my mentees, is about the more you can be online, in person, when you're shooting, like the more people are going to just magnetize towards that. And the people that don't, they're going to be repelled by it. So they'll go off and find someone else that's more suited to their style, And that's perfect because, like you said, you know, with broadcasting, they're appealing to a wider, massive audience. We don't want that. We only want the people that are really in line with our values, really like, you know, what we're kind of into, really like-minded with that. And so, yeah.
Yeah, why would you want a hard day at work? You know, you want good, fun, vibey days at work where you got all these people who just get you and love the shit out of you. They're the people you want to work with day in, day out. And, you know, it also comes from getting to do the things that you like, right? I definitely know and I'm very aware of the fact that I still love doing just this. I love talking about stuff on air, you know, and it's wonderful that my business gives me an opportunity to still do that stuff. And if there are things you love to do in your business, you should look for ways to make sure they happen often. And if at the minute you think this whole talking on podcasts or having your own podcast or making video content is scary, honestly, once you work on it and you get it, and I'm here to tell you, it is so learnable. It is not something that came easily to me, like I said earlier. Once you get it, it is so freaking fun. You are going to love the shit out of yourself after you do a podcast chat or you record an amazing reel and it gets 2,000 views. You're going to be like, this is awesome. I'm a hero. Yeah, it's really fun. It's really fun.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. So talk me through a little bit about any pinch me moments. I mean, you've had an incredible, incredible career and you've done so many amazing things. Has there been a standout or something where you've just gone, oh my goodness, I can't believe I get to meet this person or do this thing? Can you share any exciting things?
Oh, yeah, totally. And this is, yeah, this has been fun to reflect on actually, because you are right. I did a lot of downplaying in my career going, I don't ever made it to Perth Radio, but like, Cap City Radio in your own city is kind of the holy grail. I got to do that. So that was awesome even in itself. But there were cool things that happened. Like before he was famous, this ginger-haired kid rocked up at our radio station on his own and said, oh, I'm here to see Blackers, Carmen and Fitzy. And the receptionist was like, oh, yeah, who are you? And he's like, my name's Ed Sheeran. You know, when Ed Sheeran, you know, like fresh off of his first hit is just rocking up to have an interview with you. That was so cool. You know, there's lots of things like that. For the older audience members, this one doesn't ever go over as well. But if you remember him, Sir Bob Geldof, like he would be, even in spite of Ed, like, you know, Sir Bob and I have hung out and done an hour of radio together live. And just in between the songs, which he chose, by the way, he was telling all of these incredible stories. And you know, he's got this long relationship with that station that I used to work with. So, you know, those moments, Basil Fawlty coming in, John Cleese coming in and us getting to interview him, you know, huge talent who make the time to come to Perth and we get to talk to them about Perth things as well as their huge careers. I think, yeah, they've been pretty cool. I won a national radio prize while I was still in country radio and got to fly to the United States for a convention using a scholarship, you know, fund, which was, that was pretty cool. And probably actually, yeah, the one that I think really stands out to this day is, you know, the day that I got sacked from that radio show, I get home and one of the people that first heard about it and gave me a call to talk about it was the Premier, you know, like, so how many jobs do you get where you're kind of hanging out with, yeah, back then he was the opposition leader, but by then he'd become the Premier when my show finished. And I remember just picking up the phone and going, oh, hello, Mark. Am I getting a phone call from the Premier because I lost my job? You know, so, yeah, there's a lot of great relationships with interesting people who've gone on to do really cool things, yeah.
Yeah, wow. It must be just so, I think sometimes it can become really normalized what we do. And so it's really important, I think, to celebrate all of our wins, whether they're little ones, big ones, all the things in between. And I love that you're like, oh, I've had some time to reflect on what I've done and, you know, the mountains you've climbed. So Perth, you're in Perth.
Mm.
So that Cairo that you mentioned before, did something eventuate?
Oh, yeah, I ended up marrying him. Yeah. I left that part out of the story, didn't I? That's my usual boom tish punchline. I can't believe I forgot to drop it. Yeah, so I know that that worked for his business, right, the making videos, because he's my husband. And we were dating back then. I didn't, you know, end up marrying a client. But, yeah, it was, that's been why I'm here, right? You know, I am I definitely was one of those Perth kids. I grew up in Kalamunda, went to Les Medi High School, and I was just hating on Perth and WA a lot, you know, because everything was so far away from me up there in Kalamunda, and I just couldn't wait to get out, you know. And I did. I spent 10 really great years living and working on the East Coast. And when I got offered the job back here in Perth, I was working on the Gold Coast. I was reading news in the mornings and out of the radio station by like 9 a.m., sitting on the beach doing yoga by 10 a.m. and yeah, having a brilliant life. I had a very affordable home that looked over the river and the beach. You know, things were great. But the opportunity to come back to Perth was too great, you know. And I did. I kind of came back a bit like, oh, this better work because I'm not sure I want to live here. But it was that Cairo. Yeah, he was the one who really showed me how good it is to live in Perth and got me to appreciate again what we've got here, you know, the river and the waterways. You know, you can get a little tiny, tinny little boat and just get out, or a jet ski, and just see this place. You know, the weather here is better than anywhere in Australia. I've lived in Victoria. I've spent tons of time in New South Wales. I've lived in Queensland, and Queensland is a contender, but those storms in the middle of summer aren't great, right? So we've got the brilliant summer. I mean, today I'm talking to you on a 29-degree winter's day, and that's pretty freaking awesome. You know, yeah. I've got a whole new appreciation for Perth, but also being lucky enough to live and work in my home city. We've both got huge families, and we both get to live this entrepreneurial life, you know, and that's my big why, you know, behind pursuing this business side and keeping the freelance vibe to what I do, is that I don't have that feeling that I definitely got back working a job. Like, at the end of the day, a Brekkie radio show, as exciting as, you know, the Ed Sheeran drop-ins and things might sound, it was the same four walls every day. It was the same show every day, repeated weekly, repeated annually, and it just got a bit same. But now my life is different every single day, and it's freaking exciting, man. I love it.
Yeah, I think it's really important because so many of us, especially if you are born and bred in Perth or WA, it's like there's this feeling of like we can't make it in Perth. We have to go over east, or we have to go to the UK, or we have to just get out. So I really appreciate, you know, you sharing that you've tried and you've gone and you've worked and you've done all the things, you've lived elsewhere, but, you know, the heart is the home. And you know, that was a beautiful ad for Perth. So I love that. And I grew up in Greenmount. So very close. Great.
There you go. Yeah, we're Hills girls as well. And that's it, isn't it? You know, it does take a while to appreciate those things. But also I think, you know, it's not that unobvious to point out that now you kind of can have your cake and eat it too with the digital revolution. You know, I'm running it really, for all intents and purposes, quite a national brand. You know, I get to do TV live to Sydney and across Australia every other weekend. I can travel to conferences at the drop of a hat or speak to them virtually. I've got clients everywhere. You know, it all happens out of my lounge room for the most part. You know, you don't have to anymore get up and move. You can choose the lifestyle that you want and still have the career that you desire.
Yes. Oh, that's so good. So what's next for you? Have you got any workshops, any offers, any exciting ventures coming up that you'd like to share?
God, there's always like so many things. I think the key things to announce are that the Confidence on Camera program continues. There'll be another intake for that one soon. So that's very good if you're at that stage where you're still wrestling with the, you know, the fear of going live and those kinds of things. We'll get you into a place where you're making content consistently on multiple platforms to grow your brand. And I've evolved it as well to another program, which is my mastermind round, the Modern Media Performer Mastermind. It's about becoming what I like to call that modern media performer. You can, you know, take a speaking engagement. You can answer the phone when Bell calls and come on Camera Queens podcast. You know, you can chase some PR and know that you'll be able to do the interview with the news in Sydney and nail it, or go on the project. Whatever it is that your heart desires about getting yourself out there, you can land those dream opportunities and lead thought and nail them when they come through. You know, that's what that one's all about. So that one's coming back. And if you are looking for something you can just kind of knock off yourself, go and check out some of the self-paced online course options, like my Fear Breaker Boot Camp. That's a great way to just, you know, spend 4 hours. You could knock it over in a day if you wanted to, and really just get yourself to a point where you can say something beginning, middle, and end into the lens of the camera and start making content.
Amazing. Carmen, thank you so much. We'll add all of these links to the show notes so people can come and find you on Instagram. And you've also a co-host of a podcast. So do you want to just quickly share that as well?
Yeah, I co-host the Experts podcast, which is powered by Media Stable. That's the business run by my mate, Nick Hayes. And Nick's company, Media Stable, places experts in the media. In fact, they were so good at it that some of my show rundowns when I was working in Talkback at 6PR here in Perth were like 100% populated by experts from the Media Stable. So he's certainly the expert at getting you expert placements in the media. And the two of us talk about what it takes to succeed when you land those opportunities, how to land those opportunities, and also from a content perspective, you know, make the most of them, you know, how to get that out on your socials. And I love banging on about all of that thought leadership through the content that you make. And yeah, Experts Podcast is definitely a good place to dive into all that info. And keep an eye out. One of these days, I'll get around to launching my own podcast. When I do, it'll be called Modern Media, all right?
Yes, I love this accountability. So now that's we're all going to be like, we're going to be going into Carmen's DMs going, okay, when's this podcast coming out?
Oh, please help me, because this is it. I think I'm a classic creative like that. I love, love, love what I do, but I also get a bit like, oh, I've got so many things I want to do. I get a bit overwhelmed and don't know where to put my energy. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's such a creative chaos brain as well. Mm-hmm. Like we want to do all the things and we get a bit shiny, bright object syndrome. But you're doing amazing. And thank you so much for all your tips and speaking to me today.
No, it's been really fun. Thank you, Belle.
Thank you.
Hey, Camera Queen. Thanks for tuning in. I hope this episode got you lit. Let's keep the fire burning. Jump online and share your ideas with the Instaverse. Don't forget to tag me at Belle Vitiglione in your posts and stories so we can continue the conversation. Until next time.